All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of Ask a Web Question. Always the favorite ones because Alyssa's here and we get to talk about marketing, my old stomping ground, I guess. I don't know. So, Alyssa, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks, guys.
Hi, Alyssa.
Today, I think we'll be, well, there, it's always a very interesting topic, but today is really interesting because we get to talk about linking or managing kind of that short-term need to add leads to your funnel with, you know, your broader marketing strand plan and strategy. And again, as I was saying offline, the insight here is that a lot of people take time to get started with marketing. And usually that time is when salespeople can't fill their funnels anymore, like when they've tackled all their low-hanging fruit, their contact books and all that stuff and their trade shows and that's where we start marketing. So we want leads today, but then we speak to people and they say, well, yeah, but marketing takes a while, like SEO takes a while, and you know, even paid media takes a while to optimize. So Alyssa, please share your insights. How do we survive this madness of getting leads today?
How do we survive this madness? Yes, for sure. Okay, hopefully you can't hear any banging because my neighbor decided to start doing things on his roof. So let me know. Marketing. Yeah, it's interesting because I've run into a number of clients who are at that exact stage where they've been driving leads through their sales initiative. So inbound sales and the teams doing just predominantly networking, a lot of conferences, and trade shows where they're realizing that the expense of a trade show and the effort involved to bring a team there is not outweighing the business that's coming in as a result. And so for that reason, I recommend that businesses start to be proactive before they dry up that opportunity entirely and it becomes more of a slog than a benefit or a value, that they seek out alternative lead driving initiatives. And those don't have to be really expensive. They can be low, no cost initiatives or ideas, tapping into organic markets, building owned content, and then obviously you can look into paid media, paid advertising, paid content as well. But there should be some alternative to what's easy for the sales team to execute that the marketing team can start working on in tandem, so you make sure you never get that dried up funnel.
All right then. Good night, everybody. No, but that's really interesting because and so how do you get started, I guess, would be the
so that's part. Where your larger marketing plan comes into play. So then you're building a larger marketing plan with a series of low cost, no cost, and also maybe paid or initiatives that warrant a budget. Mm-hmm. And a combination of that, depending on your capabilities as an organization, is what should make up your strategic marketing plan. And again, I always harp on this. The marketing plan is entirely driven by your ideal prospect and where that prospect lives, plays, connects with you. So that plan does not need to be extensive. It just needs to be really strategic in how your marketing team is going to reach out, become more visible, drive awareness and engagement amongst that ideal prospect.
And that's really and that's really interesting because, you know, having worked with a lot of people, different people, either as an employee or recently, more recently as a consultant, like that's really where people like, we have an idea of what the ideal marketing person is, but especially I find on the marketing side of things, we tend to go to these old playbooks that, for as much as I like HubSpot, but, you know, like HubSpot's like tried and true, they're the content and your pillar content, you know, like, we kind of go back to these like tried and true initiatives without really thinking. So we kind of know, you know, whether we've done an official survey or whether we've not survey, but in official research, or whether we just kind of intrinsically understand our customer. We always try to go back to like, okay, but now we're going to do ads and now we're going to do this. And I find like most people have a hard time really taking the look at their customer and being like, okay, but where does my customer find their ideas or their inspiration to, and eventually seek out the products that we sell, right? And that's so key because that's where I feel like a lot of people, they get started like, oh, you know, LinkedIn ads, my audience is on LinkedIn, I'll do LinkedIn ads and it'll work. And then it doesn't. And they're like, oh, marketing doesn't work for me.
Yeah. And that's the problem is sometimes it's two ways. Sometimes companies don't do marketing at all, or they just go to marketing and think it's going to be some magic marketing wand. And all they do is need to pump money into ads. If the rest of the machine does not work or is failing you, those ads will go to oblivion and be a complete waste of money, which I've seen time and again organizations do. So if you are spending any money in driving leads, it's important that there is a machine of support or a funnel, whatever you want to call it, in which that lead gets driven through. And there also needs to be a really clear handoff between when that lead becomes a qualified lead that's getting passed off to the sales team. And we've talked about this a lot too. But I think it's the marketing team's job to help disqualify those leads as completely and consistently and holistically as they can before the sales team comes in and wastes any time and energy as money in a sales call. So we want the sales team to be getting leads that have really high conversion rates because the work of the marketing team has been done through that sales funnel, whatever it looks like, to make sure that that name, that contact who eventually gets down into the salesperson's inbox is a really good ideal prospect.
So I have a
job to like do that work to figure out who that person is.
Yeah.
So Alyssa, as you're going through the process, so again, you know, you want to build a good marketing strategy, obviously to the ideal customer, right? That makes sense to me. And then you're going to do paid and unpaid marketing, which is great. And then it's going to fall into your lead funnel, hopefully. If not, you're doing this for nothing. So you can have some kind of lead funnel that it's falling into. And then you're maybe passing it off to sales, right? So what I'm noticing, and I'm noticing with particularly with smaller companies, is that there's a real disconnect. And Fab, you talked to this before. There's a real disconnect between people understanding their customer and how to market to them. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you want to drive things in your lead funnel, then you need to fix that up too. So leads coming in, you're putting in lead funnel, someone in marketing is doing that. So here's my question. My question to you is, as that small or medium-sized company, when should you decide to say, I can't do this myself anymore, it's not working? What's the gauge? And I know some people say, well, it's never working enough. You know, I'm spending some money, but is there some kind of guideline that you give people, look, you guys really should get help doing this, or you guys just need to tweak a few things? How do you evaluate the necessity for someone to get outside help to help them out? I don't know if that's a good question.
That's a good question. I don't know, because I practice what I preach in that I have a really clear understanding of who my ideal target is. I know that business owner. I know what their mentality is. I know what they're open to. I know the state of affairs in their business. So I communicate and try to connect directly with those people so that as a result, we're making a good connection right away of, oh, you need me. You see the value in me. I think I can work with you and help you. So I think it's the same answer for those guys. There's no clear method of when you need this. If you're drowning, yeah. If it's failing and you're not getting enough business, probably you might need a little bit of additional support. If your sales team is saying, well, we extended all our opportunities, what do you want to do now, boss? Then maybe you look for alternatives. So ideally, the person who could benefit from that kind of support, and ideally you're more proactive, so you see it coming, but it often is the case where they kind of are at a loss of what more to do to drive business. And they think marketing is the key, but don't really know how to go about doing it, or think it just means pumping money into ads, again, without laying the groundwork of the core messaging that is needed to really make sure those ads land with your ideal prospects and that you have a high conversion rate once you talk to them.
And being the typical sales guy, I want to relate it back to sales in the sense that, you know, to me, marketing and sales are the same thing. Fab and I have said this in the past. Marketing and sales are the same thing. It's the beginning of one thing and it's the end of another. And where they intermingle really depends on the company. Some companies, marketing does 95% of the work and sales just take the orders. And some companies, marketing does 50% of the work and then sales takes the orders. But it's the continuation one of the other. And yeah. I guess this is my point. So, you know, in as a solopreneur or someone who's a solopreneur, they have a hard time defining who their customers are. So you can help. So a good marketer can help you with that right from the start. And then to the point that this podcast is talking about is that once your marketing plan's done, right, and you have a larger marketing plan, you're like, wow, this is going great. How do you link that to your lead funnel? Like, what are the parameters to decide, oh, I'm going to get marketing to do more of this, or I'm going to get sales to jump in? That's where I find with a lot of my clients, it's really muddy. I'm working with a client right now that's actually really good at defining it. So marketing is going to do this, it goes there. And they start having the sales, start having the conversation. If it goes into nurture, marketing picks it up again. So I've very rarely seen this in the last several years that I'm working with clients. So I guess my question to you is, how do you establish that, where, who does what, and how to transfer it, and who's going to take care of the leads at that point? My God, I'm talking a lot. Sorry, that's longest.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Those are good questions. I think it comes down to where efficiencies lie within that particular organization. So as an example, one of my clients, they don't have a ton of time and energy to get on the phone in a sales call necessarily. So as a result, we're trying to build marketing initiatives that help to disqualify leads that are coming in the door through paid advertising, for example. So we're forcing them to fill out a questionnaire before. We have a nurturing sequence of emails after they engage that further narrows down who that individual is and if they are worth spending time on a call with. That's just one example. So there has to be that conversation of like, sales guys, what kind of quality person are you looking for? What do you want your conversion rates to be? And if the sales team is seeing that they're getting crummy leads, it's coming back to the marketing team and saying, hey, what can we do to vet our leads a little bit more before we spend time and energy talking to them? And when that happens is pretty nuanced from organization to organization. But I would say the time and energy of a sales call should be spent on a really high quality lead. So at whatever stage you determine that you have whittled down that prospect to define them as a high quality lead is when time and energy is spent on a call with a high conversion rate, ideally.
Okay.
And if I could just add to that also, I think you're right. There's internal efficiencies, right? And different businesses are built in different ways. And some CEOs believe fully on in marketing. And so marketing is like has a liberty to take on more of a integrated role. And some people are very sales driven. And so marketing might have a smaller role. I think it also depends on, you know, your go-to-market model, right? Like on the size of your business, right? Like not your size, like per customer, right? Like you have some enterprise businesses where your customers are driving in like, you know, $500,000 a year. While your marketing at this point, because of the type of client you're looking at, will be very different than if you're a SaaS, you know, like $5 a year product, you know, right? Like your marketing will look very different, you know, the smaller scale usually will be very marketing driven because we need to go attract a huge volume to be warrant that $5 a year business model versus like the 500,000 plus a year. You know, you probably need maybe you need one or two clients. And so your marketing will look very, very different and very integrated with sales and very customized to a handful of specific companies. So I think there's also that variable to take into account.
Yeah. And I think there's two folds in marketing where marketing really helps with that funnel or driving traffic into the funnel or making the funnel work well. One is driving leads. Yes, fine. And often that's paid or it's more aggressive marketing to really drive mass awareness, get a high engagement. The other piece that's also really important from a B2B perspective in a lot of spaces is being a content builder or having owned content or being a thought leader. Thought leader is the hot theme where you're pumping out content as an expert that you're hoping your ideal prospect gets wind of. But it's also a way to validate your caliber and quality as an organization to prospects who are going in on a sales call. So for example, if let's say you just do networking or the sales team gets a lead, and then the lead gets told, hey, you're going to hop on a call with John, our salesperson, that prospect may do a little more investigating about the company. Do I really want to chat with John? I don't know. Maybe I'm going to creep the company a little more. Then marketing's existing owned content helps to further sell and convince that prospect that John's worth talking to. So marketing has kind of two roles in that it's got an amazing home base of great content that's out there in the world to help in the selling sort of organically. as prospects creep and investigate to see if you're worth their time in talking to?
Yeah, it did make sense. Yeah, I mean, and so just going back, I think to our initial kind of topic is that, you know, if, you know, what I like what you really said at the beginning, Alyssa, at some point was like, you know, hopefully you're having foresight too. Like the reality is like, if you want your market, just how sales take, you know, like people have this impression that sales is quick, right? You hire a salesperson, you start making sales, but that's not really true, right? Because let's start a younger business, right? Like the founders have been doing sales for long, even though there may not be salespeople, but they have an idea of like what questions, you know, there's a time that was taken to understand, you know, I don't know, maybe the company I worked at, but like younger companies have like massive sales turnovers, right? As they're trying out sales reps because their process isn't defined and salespeople can't find. So sales does take an investment. I think what happens is that they're then hoping that marketing comes in and just fills in the gap quickly. But, you know, the reality is, you know, there is a certain amount of time before, you know, like you said, even just taking the time to understand like who your customer is and the messaging that resonates and how am I going to distribute this? And then just that can take, you know, a little while too. And I think this, you know, to me, like a big thing is just hopefully that you can get insight into, okay, my salespeople are drawing up their funnel. I think we need to look into marketing before it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah, and marketing can help inform from a HubSpot CRM perspective too, which arguably is probably still marketing until you get into the actual sales call. But again, that's debatable. Some people consider the CRM funnel, once they're in as a lead and they get groomed with either, let's say, an email chain or whatever that might be that's leading them to the sale. I think marketing and sales need to work really closely together with their tandem insights in terms of what that content looks like to drive conversion. So if it's not an actual sales call and you're relying on emails or something else to drive conversion, then that messaging needs to be really nuanced, very clear, very convincing, very effective. And at that stage, sales and marketing insights together can help make that content even stronger.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, obviously we're talking about marketing today, but there's also the post-sale, right? Which often gets neglected too. And that marketing can actually have, you know, I've seen places where marketing has actually more impact in the post-sale than the pre-sale, just because, you know, what happens after the sale, you know, after the contract is signed and how you're taking care of the customer and what kind of information and content you're sharing there and understanding how the customers are reacting to your product, your service is also as important. And I realize this, I just opened a huge tangent, but it's still something that gets neglected as well. And I feel like marketing actually can have a huge impact there too. It might not be a matter of like top funnel stuff, but it's more, you know, post funnel, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. And that's where marketing teams can help inform customer service too. So in addition to sales supporting customer service, like the customer service team is kind of who have to deal with everything once the other two teams have done their work. But they kind of end up being both marketing and salespeople at the same time. So sharing insights from both parties would be important in that regard too, for the post, like for customer service and account management, really.
Very I'm a little good. Concerned. Paul is very quiet. This is so unnatural for me.
I'm a little more quiet because it's not my expertise, and I want to make sure that you get questions in. My questions tend to always come back to sales, and I find I want to hear the marketing advantage of things.
But that's what we're talking about too, right? Because it's ultimately, like we're saying, like, and I think we've all seen it, the three of us, even though Paul, you're like obviously very much in sales, and Alyssa, you're very much on the marketing side. Like that's usually when marketing gets called in. When sales starts having problems, right? That's when marketing comes in, unless the CEO, co-founder, whatever the top leader is, really truly believes in the value of content and marketing and stuff like that, where marketing will kind of be brought in earlier. But even in the cases where I've seen like content and marketing there early, you know, there's still a struggle because to your initial point, Alyssa, is like the groundwork isn't done, right? Like who are my customers and what do they resonate? Like what resonates with them? I.e. like what's my messaging and where do they consume content, right? Like you know, I remember once seeing a message from, you know, HubSpot's like first CMO, who's now the CEO of another company. And he was like, you know, what blog post the CEO never reads, like one that starts like 7 tips to becoming a great CEO. Like no CEO will ever read that blog post. So if your marketing is just like pumping out that content, it's not going to resonate, right? And so that groundwork is so important. And that's what's really what to me is going to help you accelerate that marketing success is taking that few months to do the, or maybe not a few months, but that time to put in that groundwork.
Yeah, well, exactly. And oh, sorry, go ahead, Paul.
Well, is it fair to say too that I agree with you, Fab, that in the past I often used to hear, oh, marketing, they can't do anything, nothing goes anywhere. Because, you know, traditionally in the past, and I'm talking 10, 15 years ago, when it was harder to track marketing, you didn't have direct ROI from your marketing. Like you didn't see it that well. Like it was harder to gauge. Whereas now I find, obviously, with everything that we're doing in the last 20 years, you really can track the effects that marketing, digital marketing has particularly with what you're doing. And you see the results. Hence, it's way more important, or considered way more important. And I think it's much more respected by the sales team and the CEO because they see the direct occurrence of going on. And again, linking both together. But I think you both said something really important. If you're not doing the groundwork and you're not putting out the right content, I mean, it doesn't matter what you do, it's going to suck. And what you put out, it's and you know, we've often had this discussion, and Alyssa and I have even had it offline, is that, you know, you really have to take the time to understand what it is you're trying to do or who you're trying to reach and why it interests them. You know, Alyssa and I have also had the conversation is, you know, it's not about your product. No one cares about your product. It's about what your product or your service can do for them. You know, very rare, unless you're in a B2C world, that's very different. You know, people buy, guitars because they like the guitar, you know, but in a B2B world, it would be, well, no, I'm only buying the guitar to make music. It doesn't matter what guitar I have, as long as it makes music. So, and I think people forget that, one. So, and two, it's that groundwork becomes so capital and important because that's how you're talking to the world out there. And then that helps sales close it. And then, you know, like we were saying before, well, how far and how deep is sales involved? You know, in a marketing driven company, you know, some people probably wish that they didn't have to involve sales at all, right? You just buy online, and that's wonderful. If that's your model and it works fine, then you might not need anyone. And then you can go all the way to the other extent when it's a very customized, specialized thing where the only thing marketing does is make sure your business cards and your flyer, you know. So that's the other extreme, right? So that's it. But you know, there's less and less of that, thank God.
Yeah. No, it's true. And I think you know, I think marketing's job, especially in mid-size organizations, their job is to bring in high quality leads. And that isn't numbers. And so that you could say an ROI is, oh, I spent this amount and I got this many leads. But if those leads are all garbage, you have a crappy ROI, depending on no matter what that number is. And it's your sales team that's going to tell you how high quality those leads are. Now, you need to have a good relationship. A CEO needs to manage them well to say, oh, actually, you know, Alyssa brought you in and I read these guys, really high quality people. Technically, I feel like on paper, these guys should all be wanting to buy our product. So then you see like, oh, did the sales team fail in their ability to convert, even though they were quality leads? Or is the sales saying, hey, like, I can't even sell to these guys anyways, because they're not the right people for our business and our products. So I think marketing's job in driving that funnel in is to your point, Paul, doing the groundwork and figuring out who those ideal prospects are. And it's one person. It's one type of person. I say this every episode. It is one person. It is the person who makes you the most money, who is easiest to convert, who if you had 10 of these clients, you'd be laughing. Those are who you talk to. And the waters can get muddied by senior leaders sometimes or business owners who are their own marketing team, where they don't want to ostracize anyone. They don't want to lose anyone. But my client like this is like that. And I always say to them, who's your best client? Who makes you the most money? Who do you like working with the most? What if you multiplied them? What if you could clone them? Oh, yeah. If I could clone them, I'd be happy. Great. Then let's guess what? There's a whole bunch more of those guys out there. So why don't you talk to them? And then as a result, if the marketing team is putting the right messaging out there, saying the right things to that right person, the sales team gets handed a little email list of names to call, and all those people are like sitting ducks, and that when things are working well together.
So there's an elephant in the room here that I want to address. And the elephant in the room is the quality of the leads. Now, and this is a big one, because if, let's say, marketing is throwing 1,000 leads at you, and only 10 of those leads are good, but in those 10 leads, you're going to be making $10 million a year, and you've got 3 reps. Those are pretty good leads. So the reality is that, and now I'm throwing the sales team under the bus. That doesn't happen often. But what I'm saying, I very much believe that if you have any percentage of good leads coming in, yes, you should always be tweaking your marketing and always trying to bring in better leads. But ultimately, what sales has to realize is the part of sales is the really good salespeople know how often they're going to fail. So let's say I get 100 leads and only 3 of them close, and I get 100 leads a year and 3 of them close. But if I close 2 of those leads, I make a huge commission and I have a great year. Well, you know what? Marketing is giving you good leads. You know, so essentially what you have to really be gauging is, you know, the ultimate lazy salesperson can say, hey, look, just send me 3 good leads a year and I'll just close them. Well, it's not the way it works. You know, there's a job to be done, and there's maybe a consultative sales to be done. Maybe you're in a very competitive industry, so even though they came to see you, but there's maybe 100 other competitors that they can talk to. So now it has to be a conversation, and it has to go deeper than just what marketing can do, because marketing can only do so much. They're not having a one-on-one conversation most of the time. Yeah. So it's to understand, once you build that lead funnel, what's the quality of those leads, but what does it really matter to you? If you're someone that needs to close 10 leads a week, well, then maybe it's a different world. But if you're closing 3 leads a year and your year is done after 2 leads a year, well, it's all. So you need to understand how you're qualifying that and what the work of that is. And there should be, and Fab and I have talked about this before, there should be a person that sits there that's both in marketing and sales that creates that, that looks at the data and creates that realistic expectation of, well, the lead generators, our marketing team is going to send 10,000 leads a year and only 100 of them are going to be good. What do we mean by that? Not that they're good, sorry. Only 100 of those are going to close. Well, because you're going to pick up the ball, you need to sort of weed out through those 10,000. You're going to talk to 5,000 of them. And then of those 5,000, you're only going to close, I forget what I said, X number, and that's going to make your year. So there's a real conversation that has to happen there. And that you can only determine that. It really depends a lot on the business and what it is you're trying to do. So there's a huge conversation there. Sorry for my little.
Yeah, no, no worries. And I mean, obviously, like that's the big one, right? And I'll put my ops hat on 2 minutes. Like, that's where the data comes in, right? Like at the end of the day, regardless of what your go-to-market model is, whether it warrants having a two-step process, right? Like we've talked about it with Alyssa a while back, like the sales development rep, or if he's just like a, you know, cradle to grave rep that just does everything, or whether it's just like one click sale type of thing. I think you need very objective definitions of, so that you can come back and say, well, look, sales rep, like, stop complaining about the leads. You need 100 this year. You got 25 this month, like, and we're January, like, you're on pace to getting the 100 leads you need before the end of the year. But I find what happens when that contention happens, when it's all up in the air, right? It's all objective or subjective, excuse me. Like, oh, well, I need like 500 leads. Like, why? Well, I don't know. It feels like a good number. You know what I mean? Like, ultimately, but if you can be very clear as to what a lead is, what a qualified lead is, like, when does it become an opportunity, and all this stuff you talk about, Paul, during your sales process, right? Disqualifying along the way, and you're only going to move a deal from stage 2 to stage 3 at this specific moment. When you have this specific information, I mean, or whatever, you need that throughout, right? And even past
unrealistically, some salespeople say, "Well, you got to give me the lead when they're ready to close." Well, really, come on, like, why you?
Well, that could work in some business, right? If it's an online, like, click to buy, like, quick generating, like, I worked with a client once, like, they had a 2-step sales process. It was just like, they have a need, here's a quote, sign it. Like, they needed ready to close leads because of that's. They had a quick turnaround, highly competitive industry where people made decisions on the fly, you know? And so it really depends where you're at, but you're right. Like, there has to be a clear understanding of which leads am I getting and when. And if I need a high volume, then I need to invest a lot more in my marketing, not necessarily to place more ads, but to do more research, to do more understanding of who my customer is, so my messaging could be even more on point and so on and so forth.
Yeah. And that shows the importance of tracking and measuring success along the way. Because, for example, if you know you're rolling okay with 100 leads and you convert 3, you're good. You, that communication to be had with the marketing team of saying, okay, how do we make those leads even better? How do we make those leads even stronger, more likely to convert? So what can we do to tweak our messaging, to hone in on an even better ideal prospect through our messaging and our efforts and our marketing plan, to have those 100 have an even higher conversion rate? So the team is converting 5 instead of 3. Mm-hmm. And that's where I think the marketing team can play a role in that ongoing development, because mm-hmm. the more learnings they have from sales and the sales experience and having conversations with leads, the more they can tweak their content to make sure they're really putting a hook out for an even more specified hook to get an even better prospect on the hook.
Yep. Online. Yep. Absolutely.
So awesome.
It's an interesting conversation though, because you know, with one of my clients, without mentioning them, you know, they're living through this whole process. And you know, the owner is very much a marketing guy and he has a great marketing machine. And what's happening is that the salespeople have been fed some really great leads, but they're being fed so many leads that they don't have the time really to weed through them and see which ones are good and bad. Because again, in this specific instance, marketing can only do so much because it's very much a B2B customized product in every single case. So it's very, very interesting.
Yeah.
Awesome. This was really fun. I'll cap it off here because otherwise we'll go on for 3 days and I don't think my headphones will last that long. But I'm kidding. This was really fun. I think if I can recap and let me know if I got it right. I think, you know, ideally you get started before it's too late, before you need them, right? But regardless, you know, spend time focusing on the core stuff, like who's your audience, what resonates with them, where are they paying, what are they spending their time for, why are they buying your product, right? Like, all that stuff, and then work on developing those tactics. And obviously, the more time you have to do it, the more success you'll have. If you have less time, you just have to accept that there'll be a ramp up period as well. But focus on, I don't know what's going on outside, but focus on your fundamentals.
Yeah. And I would say too, for small business owners as well, who wear a marketing and sales hat, it surprises me, and I often like to remind clients that they should use their sales experience to inform their marketing efforts, because that is the closest they're going to get to understanding their prospect, figuring out in those sales calls, in those prospecting calls, whether this person's fit, why they're a fit, what their problems are, what their goals are, all those key nuggets of information. Because often I'll sit down to do the preliminary core work with the client and ask them questions about their primary target, and they kind of feel like they don't have answers. And I say, okay, well, how many sales meetings have you gone on in the last little while? Oh yeah, I've done a lot of prospect calls. Okay, what did you learn from those conversations? So when you're an individual business owner or in a small business where you're kind of wearing the hat, both hats, utilize your sales experience to inform your marketing and vice versa.
Awesome. Thanks, Alyssa. Thanks. Always amazing. We'll talk to you next month.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Paul. Bye, everybody.
Ciao.